I probably should have built a message based on that song. That's good, guys. Well, I really appreciate the comments, encouragement after last week's messages, both Sunday morning and Sunday night. The message, of course, the basis, which many times is not necessarily known to the congregation. It's not an easy message for me to preach, though true. And truth should be our pursuit, as the Lord commanded, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true. All of God's children should really value substance over sentiment. For God has never been more concerned about how we feel than he is about the truth. And so we ought to be pursuers of truth. I ask for your prayers today for this message, and it's for good reason. But I'd like to bring a message of the Lord's help on hating or hurting the Jews. Hating or hurting the Jews. So here's another hard truth for you to consider. No minority people group on earth has ever been given so many lemons, who also made so much lemonade out of these lemons as the Jewish people. No people group. The Jews have been a most resilient people. Now, they're not alone in being resilient in the earth. Sometimes they get more attention than others, but other people have come up from their shoelaces and done very well, as just like the Jews. Yet the Jews have, by and large, come from low living, and they've also come from high living. They came from low manual workers in the ghettos, and they've also come from affluent movers and shakers. Now, I would ask the question, is wickedness a respecter of persons? Is wickedness a respecter of persons? I think not. I think not. And so in any people group, you can find bad actors. In any people group. Among the Jews as well, I said any people group, you can find bad actors. And the Word of God demonstrates that you can find bad actors in any people group. Yet Jews have long since had a special place in the heart of God for the good of the world. And that plan is still in place. It is still in place, even if denied, even if disdained, even if delayed by even the Jews themselves. It is still God's plan. Take your Bibles and go to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis 12, the fact remains, God called out Abram to be the father of a special nation with a threefold purpose of blessing. One, that the land was to go to Abraham and his descendants to be the priest of Almighty God. It was two, to be a multitude of people. And number three, the universal blessing that would come to the world through the seed of Christ, the Messiah. The Jews, of course, are descendants of Abraham, through the patriarchs of Israel. And thus we have the 12 tribes of Israel. Abraham, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Beginning of verse 1 of chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanites was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. You see that? This land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Now over in Genesis chapter 15, if you would. And we see here in Genesis 15, the illustration that the covenant that God of heaven, the Almighty God, the one and only God, He made a covenant with Abram, and that was an unconditional covenant. An unconditional covenant. In other words, God made this covenant with Himself for the benefit of Abram and Isaac and Jacob and the descendants of Abraham. Beginning at verse 1 of chapter 15, Genesis 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. God would still offer that message to every Jewish man and woman and boy and girl today. Fear not, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is the Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees, to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterwards shall they come out with great substance. Verse 15. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. In other words, God's taking care of a lot of business. And again, it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, now listen, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land. Now listen now. From the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Now we know that God passed through the divided flesh, and He did this alone. He did it alone. So God made this covenant. Normally, if you're going to make a covenant with someone else, the two would cross through, pass through the divided flesh together. But in this case, Abram was asleep. And Abram saw in his sleep, he saw the presence of Almighty God pass through the divided flesh, but doing so alone, therefore making a covenant with himself. That makes this an unconditional covenant. Of course, that covenant is passed down through Isaac and then Jacob. Now listen, every time seed passed through the divided flesh of the circumcised man and the holy bonds of marriage, it was a reminder God has made a covenant with Israel. Every single time that took place, God makes His promise and God will hold His promise true. Now, this in chapter 15 and elsewhere is the most legitimate claim of land the Lord has ever made to anyone. And it's to the people of Israel. It is the legitimate claim. even beyond the fact of 1948, but 1948 historically would stand on its own two legs. It could stand on its own two legs without this, but it doesn't have to, because God has so decreed this land is for Israel. This land is for Israel. But God does the first offerings of the fat. Now, the land did not always belong to Israel. In fact, Israel did not go into the land with a great people until after the Exodus took place, after they were brought out of Egypt with the host of people. Then when they came out of Egypt, after being in bondage for hundreds of years, they had the host of people. They would receive their law on Mount Sinai. They would receive their constitution. And then they are going to need, as a nation, they're going to need a land. A land that they partially took in the holiness of God by their, you could say, partial obedience to God. Now later on, of course, after much rejection of the prophets, they did not listen again and again and again to the prophets, the word of God, the preached word of God. They were taken captive, first the northern tribes and the southern tribes, because of their disobedience to God. They disobeyed God. God was long-suffering and merciful, but he finally said, that's enough, that's enough, that's enough. And the temple and the walls, of course, were destroyed. Then, as promised, even then, God would restore them again to the nation and once again rebuild the temple and the walls. And that was done. As then you read all about that in the Old Testament, that was done. But it was once again destroyed in 70 AD under Roman rule. This time, instead of the northern tribes being taken off, carted off in part to the Assyrians, the Persians, and the southern tribe being taken captive by the Babylonians unto a nation or two nations, this time they were scattered. The Jews I'm speaking of, they were scattered all over the world. All over the world. Not taken captive by one or two, but they're scattered now all over the world to all the other nations. Now, Jews have moved around the world through the centuries like few, if any, other people on the planet. They have been roamers, you can say. Nobody has roamed as much. They have been fragmented, mostly due, of course, to persecution and opportunities as well. Opportunities. And so they ended up, you know, in America. Many of them, most of them, right in New York. End up in America. Not only that, but Australia, working backwards, Brazil, Argentina, Spain, Europe, Russia, the Ottoman Empire, and on we can go. All over the world. They were scattered all over the world. Now, some nations, not many as we would hope, but some nations accepted them. Some nations even promoted them to their own benefit, because they were people of commerce and they were people who would serve as their ambassadors, their go-between between the Christians and the Muslims, and they would be a go-between and they would prefer them. The Jews often converting business success into higher education for their children and even their grandchildren. And they certainly had an ancient appreciation of learning, which stems from the learning of the Old Testament, the Torah. So if you learn, readers are leaders. You ever heard that? Readers are leaders. So intellectualism often became a more natural outgrowth, until often at a later time, the tide would turn in these nations, and many of those same nations then turned on their Jewish populations, having them as a friend. Now they see them as a foe, persecuted the Jews, expelling them even from the land, saying they're leeches, they're parasites. And so the Jews started cultivating assets which were more easily transferable to other friendlier places, other nations, other cultures. And they became good at that. There's good reason why the first Jewish synagogue in the United States of America was in the Baptist colony of Rhode Island. There's good reason why, because Baptists historically have believed in and held to, preciously they have held to, the freedom of conscience. In other words, we call that religious liberty. Religious liberty. Do you believe that's important? Our forefathers did, and so should we. Read and know the Portsmouth Compact of 1638. 1638. The seventh day of the first month, 1638. This is what it reads. We whose names are underwritten do hereby solemnly in the presence of Jehovah incorporate ourselves into a body politic, and as he shall help, will submit our persons, lives, and estates unto our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords, and to all those perfect and most absolute laws of his given in his holy word of truth, to be guided and judged thereby. Amen. Amen. Signed by 23 men. One of those happened to be married to a girl named Ann. I'll leave that for you. In Virginia, you could not vote. You could not vote unless you were a property owner and you were a member of the Anglican Church. You couldn't vote. All this revisionist of that, oh, we've always held for freedom of religion. Not hardly. Not hardly. Baptist, yes. 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 Appreciate the facts. Now, you can easily make the historical case. The Jews became, if you would say it this way, became masters as the middlemen of the earth. They became masters at this craft. And the middleman many times prospered, and some of these became highly prominent in textiles and other common businesses, high-class businesses as well, bankers, writers, musicians, scientists, politicians, tradesmen, and more. And they became very good at it, and they worked at it. They talked about it. They studied at it. Now, many of their line went from peddlers to prominent business leaders and multi-millionaires even in their day. Such a man by the name of Levi Strauss, ever heard of him? He's a Jew. He started pushing a cart around in California, peddling jeans to a clothing empire. In 1853, he was an immigrant of Bavaria, opened a dry goods company in San Francisco at the height of the California gold rush. Opportunity, right? Opportunity. While he was working, he recognized a need among hardworking people, clothes built to endure anything. You ever been around a rock quarry? He and his tailor, Jacob Davis, combined copper rivet reinforcements with tough denim, leading to the first manufactured waist overalls. How about that name? Waist overalls in 1873, and today we call them blue jeans. Blue jeans. That company is now worth $6.9 billion. $6.9 billion. The Jews have been successful at cultivating habits which have led them or their children and children's children to prosperity and success. Again and again and again and again. Thereby, many others which have not pursued such disciplines have become jealous and envious, and building their egos want to tear down what they have never achieved themselves. A minority, of course, throughout history. And by the way, other minorities have done similar things. So they're not alone in this. They filled an economic gap which provided a valuable function and often eventually became resented for that function. All the while others could have copied their success. In other words, if they can do it, we can do it. They have fewer people than we. But instead of having that attitude, they resented them. Often led to persecution, even expelling them out of their own homes and off their own lands. Many times when they would expel the Jews and they'd run that off, they did it by cutting their own throat, because then those nations in those regions suffered because they lost the valuable enterprises of the Jews, and after all, what they were contributing to the population. But instead of persecuting people, make up a tiny fraction of human population for perceived control over the masses when they're less than 1% of the population. Come on. It's easier to go and find yourself being ill-tempered toward them? Why not outperform them with the masses and thus serve yourself if you think that you could be as productive as they? In other words, stop being a victim and become a victor. Sounds like something needed in our nation, doesn't it? Huh? Come on. Yeah. So it's easier to complain and blame others, even a very, very small minority group who prospers. Easier to hate them than to hate yourself. Now, I love the writing and the work of the scholar and writer Thomas Sowell. I think he's a fine man. He's well-researched. I'd love to hear. He's elder, an elder now, but boy, he keeps going. But he has said many times, quote, when people, now listen, it's really good. When people are presented with the alternatives of hating themselves for their failure or hating others for their success, they seldom choose to hate themselves. You can chew on that for a while. Let me give it to you again, so if you missed it the first time. When, quote, when people are presented with the alternatives of hating themselves for their own failures or hating others for their success, they seldom choose to hate themselves. It's a lot easier to hate someone else than to hate yourself. When he was asked by a leading Jew, what can we, the Jews, do to reduce hostility in our world? What can we actually do to help this hostility? And he gave this Jewish leader an answer, and the answer was one word. You know what it was? Fail. The best thing you could do to get the hostility of the world off of your back is stop being a success. Fail. Fail. But in reality, in my mind, understanding history, that wouldn't have worked either. That wouldn't have worked either. By the way, the final solution came prior to 1948. Put it together. So the timelines matter. You with me? If America had happened to them what happened to Israel by the hands of once elected political leaders of Hamas, America would have blown Gaza off the face of the earth. In proportion, if America had it happened to them what happened in proportion to Israel, there would be no more Gaza today. Just think, if you would, of the illustration that's given to challenge this, of Pearl Harbor. Pearl Harbor. The Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, which in proportion of population would be far less than what actually happened to Israel not very long ago. Yet ancient Japan is no more. We are a part, America is a part of the hypocrisy towards Israel. So international pressure is put on Israel again and again and again and again. And having yielded to the pressure of trading land for peace, they have lost land and not gained peace. So you might think, well, why don't they just take back all of that land that they've given away? Throughout the centuries, Jews have been scattered to many nations and splintered off to different groups and classifications. Yes, that was then, and now is now. Two events in world history brought all of these Jews, splintered, fractured Jews, back together again as never before. And it's happened in recent times. One, the Holocaust. The Holocaust. If you ever get a chance to go visit a Holocaust museum, we need to do that. And two is the establishment of the nation of Israel. The establishment of the nation of Israel. I heard an interview with a Jewish girl, I say girl, a Jewish woman, just last week, who was saying that she would feel and does feel safer in Israel than she does today in the United States of America. God help us. You would have to be blind as a Bible student to fail to see the hand of God in all of this and more. You just have to be absolutely blind. By the way, the historical dispensational view of the Scriptures allows us to promote kindness towards Israel and to the Jews overall, who, yes, rejected their Messiah. Not all, but overall they did. And they called on those masses to crucify Him. Crucify Him. Yes, they did. Yet those in our persuasion can still love Israel, can love the souls of Jewish men, boys and girls, and want to see them saved. And at the same time, can support, zealously defend the nation of Israel. At the same time. It's kind of like chewing and gum and walking at the same time. We should be able to do both. Now, although some want to minimize the spiritual aspect of Jewish hatred, and some people, and that's certainly, there's no question, because many times just the prosperity, or they pulled themselves up by their bootstraps and went right on by you in less than a generation, and they just grow envious and jealous, and it's all their fault. No, it's not their fault. If you would do what they did, you would have likely similar outcomes. But you want to punch out at 3 o'clock. Okay. But I don't think we can minimize the spiritual aspect of the Jewish hatred. I think that would be a gross error of judgment, not only in understanding the Holy Word of God, but understanding history. The Catholics especially went after the Christ killers. That's a fact, whether you like it or not, whether you enjoy the topic or not. They went after the Jews as the Christ killers, inflaming the antagonistic views towards the Jews, claiming they sacrifice children and drink their blood. Spurred on acts of violence against the Jews, massacring of Jews during the Crusades, expulsion from the Jews from England, France, Spain, Portugal, and other places, torture during the Spanish and Portuguese Inquisitions. That's all history. And we have a lot of people who want to change history, but it's there for you to dig it out. Well, what about Islam? Well, you can certainly grab a few pockets in history where the Jews were treated fine. In Islam, yes, especially in the Ottoman Empire, when they were a benefit to them as the go-betweens. Plenty of opportunity to find something there, but it's still just pockets. It's still just a little short time, respites, if you would. Times of a little bit of an ease, and they would take advantage of that. The Jews would take advantage of that. But overall, what is Islam's record? Not good at all. Not good at all. No other people group has been expelled more from countries, not just moved within a country. All right? Not just moved within a country, Trail of Tears and all of that, expelled. No people group in the world history has ever been expelled more than the Jews. Anyone you read has it still well over 100 countries. Countries. Get out. Get out. They were expelled from lands where they had and held great prominence. But they also were expelled from lands they had no prominence at all. So you can't say, well, they controlled all the banking enterprises in Russia. I don't think so. So they were expelled from places where they had a low lifestyle, lowly workers, working class people. And they were expelled when they had risen to prominence as ambassadors and such. So you really can't make a consistent argument that they were persecuted exclusively for violating their power control over people. That's a fabrication. I said that's a fabrication. They have been persecuted when they held land, and they've been persecuted when they held no land. They were persecuted when they were educated, and they were persecuted when they were uneducated. Jews have again and again been expelled from their own land that they bought and their own homes that they built. Think of the show, Fiddler on the Roof. It's a good show. Tradition, tradition. I love that old fella, you know, tradition. Fiddler on the Roof. What was he? If I were a rich man. He wasn't a rich man. He was a poor man selling milk and cheese. But were persecuted out of Russia, expelled out of their own homes and their own lands. You've seen the end of the show, expelled, going, dragging carts down another muddy road. That story is repeated all over the earth with the Jews' history. In many of these lands, the Jews did not have equal rights to the citizens of those nations. And as such, they were held in great disdain, called names, spit upon, hit with rocks. Children would throw rocks at the Jews' children and hit them. And if your child happened to not know better and would throw a rock back and hit them, your child's life could end by the ruling of the politicians. It would mean death by the governing bodies. Yet somehow many Jews overcame and found success instead of blaming everything on others holding them back. They overcame. And instead of others seeking to emulate this quality with larger and larger egos, they turned to running down the winning horse, which when they compare to themselves makes them look bad. I mean, how can this man in one generation or two generations achieve all of that? He must be corrupt. He must be corrupt. And I'm sad to say there's a good bit of that ill dose of medicine in the south of our country. Well, working man, complain. You could find some of the similar disciplines of this people group and do better yourself, Bubba. Amen. I came from that. I know what I'm talking about. They run down the winning horses to make them look bad. And so that winner has to become the boogeyman of the earth. And that's exactly what they've done. They become the boogeyman of the earth, of society, to safeguard the egos and failures of countless others. And so campuses of our American universities are hotbeds now for hatred toward the Jews. Yeah, I want you to know what others mean for evil, God superintends for good. God is doing something in the midst of all of this movement on our planet. And all this has worked to keep the Jews together for God is not finished with Israel yet. The party ain't over. Not hardly. And it's a dreadful mistake to believe that the New Testament church, made up of Jews and Gentiles, together as one, puts aside Israel in the overall plan of God. That is an egregious mistake. Genesis 12:3 is still in the book. It's still in the book. And all of God's people, be they Gentiles or Jews, should stand up and take notice of what it actually says. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. Well, that sets a strong contrast up, doesn't it? And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So one, Christians everywhere and anywhere should seek to help the Jews and Israel, not hate the Jews nor Israel. No matter who you are, you should not be found guilty of hating a Jew or Jews or the land or the nation of Israel. Christians everywhere and anywhere should seek the salvation of Jewish souls, men, women, and boys and girls, while at the same time being able to support the Jewish nationalist aspirations of their own land. And you can do that with proper understanding of Scripture. And you should. So Christians everywhere should seek the help of Jews in Israel, the establishment and security of Israel, for God has prophesied that He's going to bring them back. And that, by the way, is fully in operation today. It's already being accomplished today. God will restore Israel to His original plan and His blessings. This first happens when God is working even with a secular people. The latter is with a spiritual people. Most of Israel now are not born again children of God. They will be, but that's yet in the future. Before the latter happens, and we find that we have a spiritual-minded Israel, the time of Jacob's trouble must first come. And it will come, and it's on the way. Of course, this happens during the tribulation period before the rapture. The church takes place first. Daniel 12:1, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. So I'd ask you, in your honesty, your integrity, I would ask you to be a truth seeker in this, and I would ask you to consider the prophetic writings of the Holy Word of God. You want to know what you should base your opinion on? It has nothing to do with Hollywood, and it has nothing to do with Fox News. It should have everything to do with this book. This book. Could I just offer you just a little bit? Just a little bit. All right? Ezekiel chapter 11. I'll begin in verse 14. You catch me there. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, thy brethren, even thy brethren, the men of thy kindred, and all the house of Israel, holy, are they unto whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, Get you far from the Lord, unto us is this land given in possession. Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord God, although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the what? Among the countries. See that? Countries. Yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord God, I will even, listen now, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof and all the abominations thereof from thence. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will make the stony heart, I'll take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. I'm not quite done. Jeremiah 23, I'll begin in verse 3. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them. And I will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise up David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Not only Israel, in the earth, and in his days. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. An interesting verse down to that same chapter, verse 20. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly. Zechariah chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Israel a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in a siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. That hasn't happened yet. In that day, saith the Lord, I will smite, listen, every horse with astonishment and his rider with madness. And I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord of hosts, their God. In that day I will make the governors of Judah like an hearth of fire among the wood and like a torch of fire in a sheaf, and they shall devour all the people round about on the right hand and on the left, and Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. And the Lord shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. In that day the Lord defended the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall look upon me, whom they pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one that mourneth for his own son, his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. One more, Hosea chapter 3, verse 5. I have to give you this one. Afterward, the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God, and David their king. They will come trembling to the Lord and to his blessings in the last days. The last days. So I'd encourage you to consider the prophetic writings of God's word. And do not be deceived by the secularist. There's plenty of deception going around. Don't be deceived by the secularist. Don't be deceived by the revisionist. Want to change history, make it something completely different than what actually took place. Don't be deceived by the spiritual so-called. Don't be deceived by the harlot church and her maidens, the Roman Catholic Church. Don't be deceived by the harlot church, that's the Roman Catholic Church, and her maidens. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived by the followers of Muhammad. Don't be deceived. And don't be deceived by the political games of the nations. God is still on his throne. In Israel, according to this holy book, will again be restored, and Christ shall reign on his throne. Let's stand.